an insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, NFL Lunch, let's get back to the picks as we were giving them to you, wrapping up week one of the NFL season tonight with San Francisco and the Jets. You can hear that game here on 105.7 The Fan. All right, Nolan, pick up where we left off, if you would not mind.
Well, we'll pick up here with the Pats and the Bengals, probably the upset so far of week one, if we had to pick one. And it certainly was a surprise to us because we all had the Bengals.
Yeah, and if I was in a Survivor, and I said this in the opening of the show, I would have been all over Cincinnati. Luckily, I'm not, or I'd have been one and done.
Especially at home. Yeah, to look like that at home, week one, I mean, I don't care if nobody had chemistry from the preseason or not, or you were missing guys. You can't look like that in week one at home.
Yeah, that was a dull game, not to say that I watched it all, just the red zone portion of it. But Cincinnati, it looked like Burrow threw a touchdown to Gesicki, which was overturned, and then the guy fumbled on the next play.
Moving on here, Texans versus Colts. This was a thrilling game. Anthony Richardson reacquitting himself after the injury last year. Bob took the Colts, Vinny and myself with Houston.
Yeah, I thought... Houston and Mixon. I was most impressed with Mixon. I mean, he looked like a young Mixon. It's like Cincinnati, you're having trouble running it today, and what are you doing getting rid of Mixon?
Yeah, Stephon Diggs, 2 touchdowns for Houston as well.
Jaguars versus Dolphins, another close one, a nail-biter that came down to the end. Bob and myself took a chance on the Jaguars, but Vinny gets the win here with the Dolphins.
Yeah, you know what? The thing with Jackson, that's kind of their... They're like the Terps, Bob. You know, they find a way to lose it at the end.
Yeah, they should have won that game.
Yeah.
But they let it slip away. They could have stole one on the road. And for Miami, given all the drama that happened with Tyreek Hill and Calais Campbell before the game.
Well, if Etienne doesn't fumble going in.
Correct.
Because then they get the 80-yard touchdown. Because Miami was done.
As they say, that was a game changer.
Yes.
Panthers versus Saints. Probably should have been the easiest one to pick this weekend, but I don't know if we all thought it would be this much of a blowout. To put it simply, the Panthers were so bad they made Derek Carr look like an MVP candidate.
Oh! A little backhanded
3 touchdowns for Carr.
What was his QB rating? Like 147 or something crazy like that? He was insane.
Yeah.
Chucking that ball around the field. We just talked about this, guys, with Howard Balzer. It's going to be a long year in Carolina. Jadeveon Clowney had a tackle, though.
He's got that.
Chuba Hubbard, good luck.
Vikings versus Giants here. It was close early, and then it wasn't. You guys went with the Vikings. For some reason, I took a chance on the Giants. As soon as I turned on Red Zone and they popped up wearing those ugly uniforms, immediately regretted my pick. As soon as I saw the uniforms, I said, there's no way you can win wearing that stuff.
And they didn't.
No.
I mean, they were awful. I can imagine what the New York paper, the back page, is saying today.
Well, Brian Daboll said he's sticking with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
How about that? We just gave you a contract extension. We told Saquon Barkley, good luck in Philly, where we'll see you twice a year. And we're going to stick with him. We're going into week two. We're sticking with the guy we just paid. Very noble of you.
Raiders versus Chargers. You guys like the Chargers in this one. I took the Raiders. Again, another one where it was close early, but ultimately... L.A. pulls away.
The Chargers warmed down. I mean, physically just warmed down, and that's what they're going to do. And I thought, they ran the ball like Harbs. Like Bob said, Dobbins was the difference in the second half.
And Mac and Bosa got sacks. Derwin James had a bunch of tackles. Herbert didn't even play. He played well, but he didn't put up these fancy numbers. But nice win for them, Raiders in Baltimore this week.
Broncos versus Seahawks. We were all riding with Mike McDonald in his new home here, and we were all correct.
Yeah, and you know what? Their defense played their ass off. And I thought back to the Ravens last year when they played Houston in the opener. Rookie quarterback, and Mike shut him down. And I figured he would do the same thing with Bo Nix, and he did.
Also, Bob, listening back to Friday's segment, you predicted a big day for Kenneth Walker.
Yeah.
That he did, 100 yards.
Well, how about Denver had 2 safeties in the first half?
Yeah.
And then Walker got big in the second half. So a victory lap there. Didn't help me much in the money winning.
Cowboys versus the Browns here, the debut of Tom Brady in the booth. Bob and Vinny went with the Browns, and I had the Cowboys.
Yeah, I was shocked. I thought all the turmoil the Cowboys had in the offseason, Cleveland's defense plays great at home, and I didn't realize Deshaun Watson would be so bad. And their offensive line stinks.
Other than that, great day for Cleveland's home opener.
Commanders versus Buccaneers. Let's see. Bob and myself going with the Commanders. Vinny with the Bucs there. And speaking of early season MVP candidates, is Baker Mayfield leading the way after week one? Four touchdowns. 289 yards.
Yeah, I would probably say Josh Allen would probably get that. But he'd be in the hunt
Derek
right now.
Carr.
Yeah. But, I mean, Washington, yeah, I mean, Todd Bowles going against a rookie quarterback, too. That's what, you know, down in Tampa.
Yeah, it's like McLaurin, are you playing today or what? They didn't get him involved. Eckler had, 10 yards rushing. But Daniels did rush for two, growing pains, as we've talked about. Yep.
And lastly here, Rams versus Lions. We all had Detroit in this one.
Lions, in that overtime, they just ran it down their throats. And the Rams are so beat up now. I mean, they lost two more offensive linemen. They lost Puka. And they just... I still thought the Rams competed their ass off. Stafford played really, really hard in that one.
Went into overtime. Montgomery with the game-winning touchdown there. And we have a game tonight, Nolan. So... Jets, San Francisco, before we get to that one, what's the tally heading into the finale of week one?
Right, so this week, Bob did finish slightly under 500. You were 9-10.
Oh, yeah.
Vinny leading the way, 13-6. I was 12-7. Updated standings. Vinny out in front, 16-8. Bob and myself, 14-10.
All right, well, I'm not
two games back.
Not the White Sox yet, but we're trending in that direction. Maybe tonight's game could help. Vinny, who do you got? Jets at San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers is back.
Yeah, I'm going to, let me see, McCaffrey's missed all of training camp with a calf. Ayuk's missed all of camp. Trent Williams missed all of camp. I'm going to go with the Jets. I'm going to take the Jets.
I like the Niners here. I think it will be very low scoring. I trust the Jets' defense. I just not really sure what we're going to get from Aaron Rodgers if he even stays healthy. So I'll go with the home team Niners.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with San Francisco to defend that Santa Clara turf in what could be an entertaining game, and I think that's all we can hope for on a Monday night. Schedule for week two, by the way, of the National Football League season of 2024 starts Thursday. Bills at Dolphins, Miami -2. Sunday's games where you got the Saints at the Cowboys. Now this one has a little more intrigue to it.
I think the Cowboys will get pressure, and then Carr's going to become Carr, Bob.
Dallas 6.5 there. Tampa at Detroit, another playoff rematch from last year.
Yeah, that'll be
Detroit land.
Especially
6.5.
Especially the way your boy's playing, your MVP quarterback.
Colts at the Packers.
Ooh.
That's a nice little week, too. Indy's favorite 3.5 because Jordan Love's going to be out of lineup. The Jets to be determined record-wise, but they're at the Titans, and they're already 4-point favorites.
Damn.
Levis. 49ers at the Vikings. Of course, San Francisco, record to be determined. They haven't played yet, but they're 5.5 at Minnesota. Well, Darnold, 12 for 12 to start the game.
Darnold played a good game.
Aaron Jones looked good, too. Seattle's at New England, battle of undefeateds. Seattle -3.5. Giants at Commanders. Washington -2.5.
Yeah.
And he went, Carolina and the Giants play overseas later in the season.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they might they might tell us to take football back. We don't want it anymore. Chargers at the Panthers. Chargers -6. Browns at Jacksonville. Jacksonville -4. Raiders are here. Ravens -9.5. Rams at Cards. Two tough luck losers. L.A. -1.5. Steelers at Denver.
Steelers?
Pittsburgh home or road dogs, or favorites, excuse me. It's at Denver. Pittsburgh -3.5. Cincy at Kansas City.
Cincy's in trouble, man.
Yeah, get that hair dye out of your head, Burrow, and start getting it back together. Kansas City -5.5. Sunday night, here's an interesting game. How about the Bears at Houston?
I imagine the Houston... Caleb Williams will have a much better game, second game. He'll be much better. But Houston home opener, I think that one's going to be a tough one for the Bears.
Yeah, 6.5 points in favor of the Texans. And then next Monday night, Atlanta's at Philly. Battle of the Birds, Philadelphia -6.
How about if Atlanta's 0-2 coming out of the gate?
Yeah. And Arthur Smith's like, so it was all my fault, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just kicked your ass.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East Report. We'll get a phone call in here as time permits. We're going to talk Terps with Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Maryland loses at home to Michigan State, a game they probably gave away. But isn't that been the theme in the recent vintage? Maryland has these games they're supposed to win. Looks like they're going to win. And then they find ways to lose. But Kevin Willard got some big recruiting news. We'll talk about that as well here on The Fan.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
The Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Top of your American League East and Beyond report on this Monday. Orioles lose yesterday to Zip. Tampa Bay Rays. Johnny DeLuca. Two-run homer off Corbin Burns. That was kind of the offense yesterday afternoon. Oriole Park Cannon Yards. Nolan, what do you think of these 12 o'clock first pitch things?
I love it, especially on a NFL Sunday. You get a little one-hour early jump there.
Yeah, and then the game's over by like 2:30, so you can really start to jack up your NFL interest. 12 o'clock, I'm cool with it, for sure. Be much cooler if the Orioles would have won the game. 0-7, runners in scoring position. First and second, nobody out in the eighth. Three strikeouts, couldn't even get a runner. Couldn't even get a ball in play, much less get a runner over. So the Orioles, their struggles with runners in scoring position, 1-6 Saturday, 0-3 Friday, a game in which they won. Corbin Burns, 6 innings, 7 hits, the 2 runs. And that was all she wrote. So the Orioles dropped 2 out of 3 to the Tampa Bay Rays over the weekend. Tonight, Fenway Park, start of a 3-game set there. 82-62 are the Orioles, 40-29 on the road. Cade Povich, 2-7 with a 5.76, but coming off his best start of his career last week against the White Sox, taking on Boston, 72-71. Red Sox, they've been stinking at Fenway all year long, 33-39. Brian Bello, 12-7 with a 4.75, 7.10 first pitch. Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts with Tim Barbalace and longtime voice of the Orioles, Jim Hunter, coming up at 6 o'clock. Elsewhere in the division, well, yesterday at Wrigley Field, after losing the first 2 games of the series against the Yankees, not scoring a run in the first 2 games of the series, the Cubbies said, you know what, we're cool with the Orioles, and a former American League East foe did the Birds a solid.
Line drive, softly hit, center field, fall in, falls for a hit. 2-run score, Isak Paredes knocks a single to center, and the Cubs have a 2-0 lead.
2-1 would be the final score. Marquee Sports on the call. Remember Paredes, longtime Tampa Bay Ray. Yankees do win the series, however, 2-1, and they're a half game up on the Birds in the American League East. And we get to the standings in a second. Speaking of Boston, they were taking on the White Sox yesterday at home, and Dom Fletcher, who was a pain in Baltimore's ass in that finale against the White Sox, well, he was a pain in theirs yesterday, too.
That one slapped, and it's a fair ball to the left field corner. Ramos, he will score, and the Sox take a 3-2 lead here in the ninth. Dominic Fletcher coming through.
There's a ribby there. NBC Sports Chicago. Chicago scores 5 runs in the ninth to win that one, 7-2. The Red Sox, however, do take 2 out of 3 to win the series in a game of great importance to the Atlanta Braves in a rematch of the 1992 World Series taking on the Rays. And we got some extra free baseball on this one.
Murphy, comebacker, up the middle. Going to be a tough play. They come to the plate. Braves win! Throw is late! And the Braves celebrate an extra innings win to take the series versus the Jays.
Braves radio on the call. They take the series 4-3. Murphy's, it was a fielder's choice ground ball. Runner gets home. That was all she wrote, 4-3, as the Blue Jays take another L here in this disappointing for them 2024 season. Games today of playoff importance. Tampa Bay's at Philly. Tampa's only 5 out of the wild card, so they're still kind of holding out hope. Philadelphia trying to close out the East. Speaking of that, you got the Reds and the Braves at 6:40. Royals, who just swept the Twins, they're at the Yankees. So Bobby Witt Jr., hey, on the biggest stage, You do some MVP stuff in front of all the New York media, and the Royals can do some things. Who knows what this could do for his MVP candidacy? That's 7:05 in the Bronx. Rodon against Singer, your pitching matchups. Mets are at Toronto, 7:07. Got Angels at the Twins. Minnesota trying to maintain a wild card for sure. Guardians at the White Sox. Cleveland trying to win the Central. And then the Cubbies at the Dodgers. Dodgers in the West of the National League, as we know. But Chicago's still holding on for some sort of hope. Wild card there. Standings. Orioles half game behind the Yankees in the East. Kansas City's moved to within 2.5 games all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Of Cleveland there. Minnesota's 5 back. Houston 4.5 up on Seattle. Philly 7 up on both the Mets and the Braves. Cubs are 9 back of the Brewers in the Central. Dodgers are 6 games up on the Padres in the West. Your wild card standings if the playoffs started today, which they don't. Orioles, Royals, and Twins are your wild card team. Seattle and Detroit are both 3.5 out. Boston's 4. Tampa is 5 in the National League. Padres, Diamondbacks, Mets, and Braves are tied. Identical records there, and the Cubbies are 5 off the pace. So we're 18 games left for the Orioles, basically 3 weeks left in the season. Still some maneuvering going on in the world of Major League Baseball. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're going to talk some Terps when we come back, but let's get a phone call in, if you don't mind, everybody. Let's go to Woodbury, if he's still there. Bring in Joe. Joe, thanks for holding. What's happening on this Monday?
Man, I got 7 losses in the NFL. I got 2 with college. And I didn't start last week when you guys started with the last week's college games. But anyway, enough said about that. I digress. But anyway, the Ravens game. I turned it off the moment it was 1st and 10 on the 20. They took out one guy and put in Rosengard. So when they dropped back to pass, I was figuring, why would you put him in that predicament? Because they're going to go after him on something like that. Desmond Lamar fumbled the ball because they ran over him, ran through him, ran around him. So I was frustrated with that, and I didn't watch the rest of the game. I found out that they lost. And
you turned it off after what, the third series?
It's like that Dr. Pepper commercial, getting off the train first play.
Right, because I was furious with, look, you just took out, what was the
McCary.
They took out McCary. Put Rosengard in. You don't drop back on his first NFL, that's my thinking. And we saw the results. So that pissed me off right there. So I just turned the channel. I didn't watch the motor game. So enough said. Now the Orioles, we done lost one. Remember, we had 7 series left. We done lost the first one. Remember, I told y'all, Bob, we need to win at least 4 of those 7 series. Now we done lost one. We can only afford to lose 2 more because we need – at least 10 more wins, 10 to 12 to 13 wins.
13. Maybe they're going to go.
Well, they were 8-2 against Tampa.
Yeah.
And they just didn't get any offense in that series. They got Detroit twice, and the Tigers are playing really good baseball right now. The Yankees series at the end. They just have to find a way to put runs on the board. It's going to come out down to, you got to score more than the other team. That's kind of it, because their offense has been pretty bad here. So hopefully they can do what you got to do.
Series. It's going to come down to the last 2 series, the Yankees and Minnesota. And I don't know what the Orioles are swinging at when they get to the plate, And maybe they're just all swinging for the fence. Maybe they should be like, Pete Rose, just get the ball in play and hit it over somebody's head. Y'all have a great day, y'all.
All right, thank you, Joe.
Bob,
be like the Bad News Bears, let Stein get hit by a pitch. Stein!
You know it would be crazy, Bob, and I guess it could happen, right? They play the Twins the last series, and then they would open up with the Twins, too?
Possibly.
That'd be interesting.
Well, I said last week, finish with a winning record in September, you'll win the division. Or they're 4-4, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So they need a winning streak. I'm stating the obvious here. I mean, this has been a 2-month. It's a trying thing to watch. Even the manager's frustrated. The players themselves are frustrated. Can they get these bats on track against Brian Bayo and the Red Sox? We'll find out tonight at 7:10. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Coming up tonight at 6:00, Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter getting you ready for that one. We'll come back, talk about Maryland's meltdown this Saturday past at home against Michigan State with Jeff Ehrman. But Kevin Willard got really, really good recruiting news for the class of 2020. Welcome back to the show, Jeff Ehrman. Jeff, good afternoon. What's happening?
Hey, Vinny and Haney, how are you guys doing?
All right. Doing all right, but we're going to start it off with positive news, basketball, that is. And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I know who Marcus Jackson is by any stretch of the imagination. I don't follow recruiting like that anymore, but watching his highlights, I'm not saying he's Len Bias, but he does show some above-the-rim capabilities. Marcus Jackson from Baltimore, class of 2025, commits verbally to Kevin Willard. So tell our audience about a guy that's going to be wearing the red and the white, and he's got some connections with some of the guys on this year's team already.
Yeah, Bob, he's a really good-looking prospect. He's about 6'8", thin, super athletic, one of the bounciest front court players in the country. If you search him on YouTube, you'll see all of his dunks. But he's also adding more polish to his game recently. He really took off this summer. He shot 44% from three on the Under Armour Association, helping his team to the championship. So he also has a lot of, you know, he's not just a run and jump guy. He has a lot of other upside. So Maryland, you know, he's a Baltimore native, kind of bounced around. Started his career in Baltimore, went to John Marshall High School in Richmond, Virginia. Now he's out at Compass Prep in Arizona, which is one of the top prep teams in the country. And so that's probably why you haven't heard of him. You know, if he had stayed in Baltimore the whole time, he'd be more of a household name locally. But, you know, he is a guy who has had a really strong summer, and the trajectory is headed in the right direction. So, you know, he's a really good get for a Maryland team that could use an athletic forward.
All right, let's get to the football team. And, you know, it's a theme where games they're supposed to win looks like they might be able to pull out. Somehow it gets away from them. Saturday's loss to Michigan State. It looked like Maryland was going in for the KO drive, then the pick from Edwards, then the 77-yard bomb, and we can dissect every single play, Jeff, obviously. But the most frustrating part of Saturday's loss to you was what?
You know, I would say obviously the defense. The offense wasn't great. They really struggled to run the ball, but the pass coverage was really poor against a young 18-year-old quarterback who'd really struggled the week before against Florida Atlantic, I believe it was. But, you know, we knew coming into this year that, at least I thought coming into this year, that the cornerback spot might even be more of a concern than quarterback and offensive line, which were discussed far more often because they didn't really bring back any proven starters in there. You know, they've had those guys, that string of guys drafted to the NFL, Deontay Banks, Ja'Quarian Bennett, and Tarheeb Still in a 2-year span. And that whole crew now is out. They've all, you know, washed through the program. And so you're trying to replace them. And a lot of the guys that they're having to play are true freshman corners. And as we know, that can be really tough. And it was really tough for those guys on Saturday. So they need to figure something out, some way to scheme it up and get those guys more confidence, because, you know, that's a major issue.
Hey, Jeff, the thing that bothered me was special teams. You know, the field goal right before the half, they miss a 41-yarder. And it just seemed like, you know, when you lose those kind of games, it just seems like that's how Maryland always loses at the end.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, Vinny. Like, that's been an issue, obviously. I think last year in the second half, they cut down on a lot of those penalties. Previous years, they were really high numbers, you know, pretty consistently. And it wasn't just the numbers, though. It was the timing, obviously. You know, the false start late where Dylan Wade fell over, and then obviously the biggest one right at the end of the first half.
Yep.
When Jalen Husky goes off sides and you give them a second field goal try, miss the first, they make that one, and you end up losing by three. And I think they had four penalties in total on special teams, plus the missed field goal that would have iced the game. So it was just all around dismal game for their special teams. You're right about that.
What did Locke say after the game about the performance? Because, I mean, they were favored by 10, you know?
Yeah, he said that they wanted to dare Aiden Childs to beat them through the air, knowing how inexperienced he was and how much he'd struggled in the first week. And he said, you know what, he did. We wanted to challenge him to throw downfield, and he did. He also had three picks. It's really hard to lose a game when you have three picks and you only turn the ball over once, you know, I think a lot of that, again, comes back to the penalties and the lack of a running game. They just weren't able to open up holes all game. Nolan Ray had a 10-yarder. That was their only double-digit yardage carry of the game. So I think this new offensive line, you know, is better at pass blocking right now than it is at run blocking. That's another issue because, you know, if you're able to pick up a few first downs, that's a win. And if you're confident in your ability to pick up a few yards, you probably run that ball on fourth and one instead of putting it in on the foot of your kicker.
Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. At Jeff's point, Maryland rushed for less than 100 yards as a team, 86 to be exact, against Michigan State. Now Virginia looms in Charlottesville, 8 o'clock coming up this weekend. Terps laying 2.5. Virginia coming off a win at Wake Forest. What do we know about the Cavaliers as we head into this now all-important game for Mike Locksley and his Terps?
Well, they're improved. You know, I think Maryland's still favored in the game. Virginia is a team that's several years behind. I don't know if several, but they're behind Maryland in the rebuilding process. So, to me, this is one that you absolutely have to win. You know, people were talking about going into that USC game on homecoming at 6-0. That's not happening now. If you go 1-2 with losses to two of what were viewed as the more winnable opponents, beatable opponents on the schedule, you know, you are really behind the eight ball at this point.
Jeff, tell everybody what's happening at InsideMDSports.com on this Monday.
Yep, we're breaking down all the latest Terps news, exclusive scoop you can't get anywhere else. So if you'd like to follow Maryland sports and recruiting, come check us out.
Jeff, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
There's Jeff Ehrman talking about what's happening in his world at InsideMDSports.com. Top five, by the way, college football, both polls is the same. AP, Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, Alabama, Ole Miss, same with the coaches poll. Missouri, 6, Tennessee, 7, Penn State, 8, Oregon, 9, Miami, 10. That's the Associated Press. Oregon, 6, Penn State, 7, Missouri, 8, Tennessee, 9, Utah, 10. In the coaches poll, Oregon struggled against Boise State.
Oregon struggled the last two games.
Yeah, but they're playing entertaining football games, but yeah, probably not the stuff that Lanning would like to see.
And Notre Dame went where? 18?
Notre Dame.
From 7 to 18?
They toppled to number 18 in the AP, number 19 in the coaches poll. And what NIU, head coach at Northern Illinois, a Ravens guy.
Yeah, I didn't realize
but,
that.
But they got $4 million. Hey, we're going to give you $4 million and then come in and beat us.
Okay. No, it was $1.4 million.
I thought it was $4 million.
No, $1.4 million they got to come in. You know, Notre Dame figured you got a, you know, warm-up game type thing. And that's the type of game Lou Holtz never loses.
Well, they were up against it for most of that game.
Oh, yeah.
So after winning at College Station as underdogs, they come home and lay the pterodactyl on national TV. So congratulations to the Huskies with that big win there. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Come back, take a trip through the Funhouse. Inside Access takes over too. And then Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Tim Barber, Lace, Jim Hunter, getting you ready. The Orioles need to get this thing untracked offensively. And Kincaid Povich follow up that great start last time out.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter says, week one is all about the overreactions. I'm guilty of it just as much as anyone, but I won't dismiss the Browns or Bengals after yesterday. They'll still give Baltimore fits in the head-to-head meetings.
It is definitely overreaction. Everybody overreacts. It's not as bad as you seem, and it's not as good. You know, everything kind of lies somewhere in between. And you make your most progress from week one to week two. So it's going to be interesting to see who makes the jumps, who really makes improvements. And I think the Ravens are going to make huge improvements. You know, especially defensively. Defensively, the Ravens are going to get better. I don't know about the O-line, you know, I think that's going to be a slow work in progress. That's what I think. And I think the Raiders are going to get at their ass rushing. You know, so, I mean, we're going to still see some flippity-flopping of the O-line on Sunday.
This texter here commenting on a former Raven. J.K. Dobbins says, I think a change of scenery was just what Dobbins needed. While I did see him get chased down from behind on one of his long runs, his initial burst appears to be back to pre-injury levels. As long as he stays fortunate with his health, the results will follow. Happy for him as long as it isn't against the Ravens.
Well, they do play the Ravens, you know, coming up like in 4 or 5, maybe 6 weeks or whatever. But, you know, I mean, change of environment. Yeah, I mean, there's probably, what, 10 Ravens people or former Ravens people?
But if he would have stayed healthy,
he'd have been fine here.
He'd be the starting running back for the Ravens. Derrick Henry wouldn't be in Baltimore because his rookie year, he averaged, what, 6 yards a carry? Then blew out his knee, then the Achilles in a game in which he scored. Reason he's not here, because he couldn't stay on the field. But, yeah, I like J.K. Dobbins. Good for him.
This one from Chris says, I love that the officials were seemingly trying to set the tone with the offensive alignment calls, but conveniently they're setting the tone against just one of the two teams in the game.
Yeah, the thing that kind of pissed me off about it was, I mean, it was like, again? Come on. You know, again? Are you serious? You know, are we going to get to play this game? And then when Juwan Taylor is, you know, he may have lined up correctly, but he was jumping every time. He was early every time. It's like, come on. You know, call it both ways.
There's one where he looked like he was Michael Jackson moonwalking back to the quarterback, and they didn't throw
it. And he did that. He led the league in penalties last year because of all that.
And last one here from Mike in Hagerstown. He's talking Orioles. Says, if Arias and Westberg are able to come back healthy, do you see them getting a majority of the play time in the playoffs while Jackson Holliday may have spot starts?
Well, Jackson Holliday is going to have to earn that PT in the next 3 weeks. But we had Matt Weirich going a couple hours ago, and it doesn't sound like Jordan Westberg's return is anytime soon. And with Arias dealing with an ankle, they can be tricky and linger forever. So, just hoping they come back at some point in time, much less for the playoffs. But Jackson Holliday is one of the many Orioles in a cold spell right now. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll be back tomorrow, hopefully talking about an Orioles win. Going to talk about what John Harbaugh says today when we revisit that tomorrow. Vinny's Dirty Dozen, Feeble Five, and everything else happening in the world of sports over the next few hours or so. Inside Access coming up next. Followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts at 6. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. For now, class dismissed.